Who's in charge of the British Empire right now? The titular head is King Charles. He is on record as saying there are too many people. His father actually said he'd like to be reincarnated as a deadly virus to reduce population. And we see that now with the whole trans agenda. We see it with the right to die movement, the euthanasia, the abortions, and so on. They're out to kill as many people as possible. And so what we see in Maui is just another example.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for coming on back to the show. One of my favorite guests ever, Harley Schlanger, is here with a barn burner of a conversation. Friends, do you realize there really is panic amongst the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the City of London? The controllers of the darkness of this world are truly in a panic, and that's why they're targeting you and your family and Donald J. Trump. We have so much to talk about in this one. Buckle up. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for clicking play. It's wonderful to have you guys back again. Sean from SGT Report here. Guys, I have a very important broadcast lined up for you. Harley Schlanger is back on the line, and today we're going to talk about Trump, the deep state, assassinations. My God, that's a word I don't even want to come out of my mouth, but Tucker just brought it up on the Adam Carolla show. We're going to talk about BRICS and de-dollarization too. There's so much going on, guys. It just boggles the mind. It's hard to keep up, but you know, every day that's what we try to do right here on SGT Report with the real news. Harley, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hi, Sean. Really happy to talk to you.
Well, I'm always happy to have you. You're one of my favorite pundits, as you know. And so I'm going to put you in the hot seat right here off the bat. And I want your opinion on this. Do you think this is irresponsible of Tucker to be saying? He literally said it in that interview with Trump that got more than 200 million views in like 48 hours over on Twitter. He mentioned the A word. He literally asked Trump, do you think they're going to try to assassinate you? I feel like that's a bit irresponsible, except for they just might. Look what happened to JFK and RFK. So we'll play this clip, this exchange right here between Adam Carolla on his show and Tucker Carlson. And then I want to talk to you about this, Harley. This is very, very concerning because you know it's real. You know it's a possibility. What desperate caged animals these people would have to be to do it.
Are they going to let Trump be president?
No, of course. I mean, look, if, you know, they protested him, they called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times. And every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work. What's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously, and no one will say that, but I don't know how you can reach that conclusion.
All right. I find that deeply, deeply disturbing, but it's the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Well, I think it's important that it be said, because that is the reality, that you have a desperate establishment. And by establishment, I mean not Joe Biden, because he's a carrot. He has no ability to think. He's basically a puppet. People like Blinken, Sullivan, Nuland, they're doing what they're told. But the people behind the scenes are horrified by what they see in the United States. And they're also terrified by what they're seeing around the world. And we can get into that with the BRICS. But let me just tell you why I think it's important to bring this up. The City of London in December 2018, in its name, the City of London, which is basically the one square mile of the banks and financial institutions that control the British Empire and much of the world's finance, put out a report saying a second term of Trump would be a disaster for the city and for London. And therefore, everything must be done to prevent it. Now, just yesterday, the head of the programming for the Chatham House, the British intelligence, had an op-ed in the Financial Times and said, look, Europe and the world better get ready for this. The American people may very well re-elect Trump, regardless of what happens with these legal cases. And if that happens, it's an extreme danger and threat to the world because it means America will have gone fascist. That's the way they look at it. And what it means is that the situation in the United States is getting out of their control. The situation in the global South is out of their control. The Ukraine war is not succeeding. The threats against China will not succeed. They're getting desperate. Now, under those circumstances, you cannot rule out anything, including assassination and more chaos, regime changes, and so on. And I think one of the other reasons it's important is because of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the race, because he also raised the assassination question, going back to the assassination of his uncle, President Kennedy, and his father, Robert F. Kennedy, where he made the point that it's most likely the same people behind the Ukraine war, the same people behind Russiagate, who killed his uncle and his father. And so this is out in the open now. And Americans have to start discussing these things, because this is how the real world works. You can't have this illusion of elections and political parties and banking as usual. The real world works by these bankers who commit heinous crimes and think they can get away with it because they control the media. The more it's discussed, the less likely it is that they'll actually do it. And I think this is something Lyndon LaRouche always said. It's what he called factitious advantage. If you name your assassins before they pull the trigger, it may hold them back.
Well, it ought to hold them back, because I can't even imagine the firestorm that would be created in this country if they did that to Donald J. Trump. And by the way, you mentioned the city of London. It's a 1.12 square mile nation unto itself, just like the Vatican is a nation unto itself, just like Washington, D.C. is essentially an out of control nation unto itself at this point, the criminal critters in Washington, D.C. that ruled the roost and implanted Banana Joe when they stole the election in 2020. You mentioned the city of London. Let's just be clear for the audience. That's Rothschild. That's House of Rothschild.
Well, it's Rothschild and related financial institutions that include the Rockefeller networks in the United States, which means J.P. Morgan Chase. It means BlackRock. It means the biggest of the corporate cartels, such as Vanguard, the oil companies, Big Pharma. All of them are part of a globalist corporate cartel that operates above the nation state. In fact, that's why they oppose sovereignty. That's why Walt Wriston, the former head of Citibank, wrote a book in the 1980s called The Twilight of Sovereignty. That's what the World Economic Forum is about. No sovereign nation must be allowed to exist, because the people of sovereign nations may not go along with the policy that the bankers and the cartels need. And so that's what the fight is all about. It's not about any particular aspect of Trump. It's that Trump represents something that's not controlled. And what's not controlled? The fact that people actually want better lives and want freedom and don't want to submit to arbitrary rules, what Blinken calls the rules-based order. And so there's a global rebellion against this. The United States actually is far behind as far as this goes, because most people don't know what's happening internationally. The globalist bankers are in deep trouble right now because of what happened last week in Johannesburg, South Africa, with the BRICS summit. The fact that Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, are now moving toward the BRICS and working with Russia and China. There's a lot of speculation. Is there a new financial system coming, a new monetary system? Well, that's in the works. But what is clear now is that Wall Street, London, and Washington have lost their control. And if the American people knew this and actually understood it, Sean, we would have the kind of revolution that would sweep the criminals out of Washington and actually drain the swamp. And so, you know, my mission now is to make sure people understand how close we are to a total break of the power structure that's existed since the end of World War II.
Well, that's music to my ears. And, getting that kind of information from a guy like you carries so much weight, because you're an international man of mystery, man. You're all over this planet and you're talking to the people at the top in so many cases. You really know folks who are in the know, and you're really helping us wage war back against these bankers. I find it interesting that Tucker Carlson has become such a truth teller that he was even willing to say the following about Barack Obama. mentioning that he had smoked crack and had sex with men, but the media was too afraid to report it back in 2008. And of course, he was referring to Larry Sinclair, a guy who came forward and said, I'll sign an affidavit. And he did. I'll do a lie detector. And he did. I smoked crack with Barack Obama and had sex with him, said Larry Sinclair, which was obviously true. But nobody dared repeat the accusation due to threats from the Obama campaign. So I just point that out, Harley, because the agents of change, the Marxists in control behind Joe Biden, are still there. And it's guys like Barry Satoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama. I just want to point that out for people and get your comment. In addition to that, it makes me wonder, because the demon rats are so desperate right now to beat Trump, it makes me wonder if they won't run Michael. Michelle Obama, what do you think?
Well, let me come back to that in a second. I just want to let you know and your listeners know that, just as an example of what I've been able to do in the last days, since the BRICS summit, I've done interviews on national television in Pakistan, Algeria, South Africa, Iran, and Italy. And it's because people are looking for alternatives outside of the mainstream. And the people who interviewed me know that I'm on a hit list of the Ukrainian special services. So people are looking for answers. Now, Tucker Carlson is a unique case, someone who's now freed from all the controls on him to speak his mind. Doesn't mean he's right about everything, just as I may not be right about everything. But we have noses that are willing to dig in to get a real whiff of what's going on and report it. Now, on the U.S. election, look, there's total panic in the Democratic Party. We saw this in 2016 when they saw that Hillary couldn't win an election. And they did everything they could to destroy Bernie Sanders and then to destroy Trump using this completely fraudulent case of Russiagate. And it didn't work. Who do they have on their bench if it's not Biden? And you know, the question of whether or not Biden even makes it to the election is a serious question. There's no way in hell the Democrats would run Kamala Harris. You know, people make jokes about Gavin Newsom. I think that's unlikely. So what do they have? Hillary and Michelle Obama. Now, neither of those choices would gain support. But that's how desperate they are. In the meantime, what they're trying to do is to let the neocons and the war hawks in the Republican Party destroy the party so that the only thing that's left in the party is Trump. And then let the courts and the weaponization of the justice system destroy Donald Trump. And that's why what's important about what Carlson raised is that if they, you know, they could convict him and put him in prison and he could still end up getting elected. So that's why the assassination question becomes a serious consideration and why it's necessary to bring these things up to make it clear that we're in absolutely extraordinary times. But you can't rely on the media or the political establishment or even Donald Trump himself. We need a movement and a movement of citizens who understand who the enemy is and what's at stake.
Well, the other thing I wanted to note is that Hillary Clinton, there's video of her singing the praises of George Soros and introducing him at one of these events she was at years ago. And I just want to mention that is one of the other agents of change agents in this country, trying to transform us into a communist hellhole. George Soros, I just wanted to see if you had any comment on this, which appeared in Zero Hedge on August 16th. Soros to end most EU operations in radical shift. There's him and his demonic son. In that first blush, a radical shift in strategic direction might be a good thing for humanity. I would imagine they're just doubling down and they're going to rebrand their tyranny. That's my guess. But what do you know about this?
Well, the European Union is an agency of destruction of the West. You know, the idea that the European Union represents some kind of power or force, you know, Soros doesn't need the European Union. Again, he operates above the level of nations. Now, I'm watching what's going on here in Germany, where we have an elected government, which is now the three coalition partners are at about 34% in the polls. The situation is horrible. We're going through a rapid deindustrialization. The auto sector is being destroyed. The machine tool sector, this is, you know, the German technology, German engineering, German capitalism has been based on the auto sector on science and technology and machine tool. That's gone. And it's gone because of the green policy. And where does the green policy come from? This is the Soros network. This is the supranational institutions that proclaim that the human race is responsible for global warming. And therefore, we have to stop using efficient sources of energy. And again, in Germany, you see a gutless population walking around as though they've lost a war. And in a sense, it's like that, because they know they can't trust a single person in government who will tell them the truth of what's going on, beginning with the fact that you have a chancellor who is probably briefed by Biden that the U.S. was going to blow up, or maybe after that the U.S. blew up the pipelines, the Nord Stream pipelines. And not a word has come from that chancellor or his party or from any institution in Europe. So Soros, I think, is operating above the European Union. The European Union is on autopilot to destroy every country in Europe. You know, they just had a bill went through the Bundestag, the German parliament, which is the most radical transsexual reorientation in Europe. And parents don't know about it. Nobody knows about it because these things don't come out in the press.
Well, the trans insanity in this country is really out of control as well. But thank God Bud Light paid the price for that debacle regarding their move to promote trans insanity. Same with Target stores. Their last earnings report was in the toilet because people are waking up and fighting back and using their pocketbook to fight back. And that's the good news. All right, we can turn our attention to the BRICS and de-dollarization. I'll play a little clip here to set the stage. Remind me, though, Harley, before we end this call today, I really want to get your opinion on what happened in Maui, those Maui fires, United Nations Agenda 2030. They're trying to deindustrialize the West, as you just mentioned, is happening in Germany. But before we go there, here's news on the BRICS.
The BRICS group of nations has announced it will expand its membership as its five current members hope to boost their global influence.
The new members will formally join on January 1st, with host South African President Ramaphosa promising more countries to come. In fact, about 40 are trying to join.
You know, I'm going to pause it there. Just one more comment and I'll turn you loose. I really love what's going on in Africa right now, in Niger, for instance. I guess
and
I'm
Gabon,
not
the new coup that took place yesterday.
Yeah, I just heard about that. I mean, it's kind of exactly what we need in the United States. We need the military to take our government back from those who want to destroy us. But the point is that these colonies like Niger, they're finally fighting back and saying, hey, we have all the resources we need to be rich. But under your rule, we've been poor for a millennia and we've had quite enough. I think it's good news.
Sean, that's what the BRICS is about. And let me just correct you briefly. Niger and the African nations, which are having the coups right now, are in what was called French West Africa. It's the French multinational corporations that control them. And the example in Niger is a perfect one. Niger produces, the second largest amount of uranium in the world to Russia. 20% of Niger's uranium goes to France. France's electric system uses nuclear power to produce 70% of its electricity. They get it cheaply from Niger. But in Niger, which has the uranium, only about 20% of the population has electricity available on a day-to-day basis. So that's what is happening now in Africa. They're standing up and they're saying, why can't we use our own resources? Why haven't you helped fund us? You know, Macron had this big conference where he brought the African countries in and he said, we have a new plan. It's a $1 trillion tax plan to provide funding to make the transition to clean energy. And it was including taxes on these poor African countries. And one after another African leader stood up and denounced it and said, well, if you don't want our oil and gas to burn, we'll use it. But the turning point was when the South African president presented this Grand Inga Dam project, which would produce hydroelectric power for 12 nations in Africa, where you have less than 30% of the population has access to electricity. He said this would cost $60 billion to complete. You're talking about $1 trillion to impose on us energy systems that won't produce any energy. And at that point, the room exploded in applause and Macron looked like he saw a ghost. So what we're seeing now is the final rebellion against European colonialism. And unfortunately, the US has become a partner in this colonial system, which takes cheap raw materials and cheap labor from the poorest countries, gives them nothing in return except access to the International Monetary Fund, which will give them small loans and then impose conditionalities to get them paid back, such as no money for infrastructure, no money for healthcare, no money for education. And so what we're seeing with the BRICS is something new. And if I can just take a second to develop the importance of what's behind this. This is why there's a war in Ukraine right now, because Russia stands for one thing for most of the rest of the world, the global South: sovereignty, national identity. Putin is a hero in much of the Southern Hemisphere because he won't submit to London and Wall Street and the World Economic Forum. And I know we keep hearing, well, Putin and others go to the World Economic Forum. Of course they do. They're there to case the enemy, to see what's going on. But their policies are absolutely opposed to the anti-growth, genocidal policies of the World Economic Forum and Schwab, essentially starting with the question of sovereignty. So Putin and the Chinese refuse to give up sovereignty, whether it's about green policy or economic policy or trade. And so this is now spreading to countries. India has joined with them, and India is the fifth largest economy in the world. Brazil has joined, and South Africa. Now you have Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates and Iran have been added, three of the major oil producers in the world. Then also Argentina, Egypt, which also has a lot of oil and natural gas, and Ethiopia. The BRICS countries now have a larger GDP than the G7. But more importantly, the total debt of the G7 countries, the US, Britain, France, EU, and others, is the total debt is $55 trillion. The total debt of the BRICS nations is $8.9 trillion. So what you're looking at is a grouping of nations that are now saying, we don't want to do business in the dollar. We want to use national currencies. The Saudi situation is really exemplary because the Saudis worked a deal with the Chinese to accept the Chinese currency yuan for the oil they sell to China. Now a deal just got worked out between China and Iran, a $2.7 billion project to upgrade and modernize the main airport in Tehran. The Chinese will do it in return for Iranian oil. It's not just a barter, it's a move toward a different financial system. And what caused the rush toward this was the Ukraine war, because the United States and Europe use sanctions against Russia the way they've used sanctions against poorer countries. And essentially Russia and China said, we're not going to put up with this. And now you have countries like Kenya. The president of Kenya said to Macron, why should we have to buy dollars to purchase something from Djibouti, our neighbor? And this became sort of a slogan for the African countries. Why not have national currencies where we can trade so we don't have to go to the International Monetary Fund, to Wall Street, to the City of London? That's why London is freaked out. They're losing the poorer countries of the world, and the countries that are represented in the European Union are all going into depression.
I'll do a screen share here. Xi to skip G20 Delhi summit, an unprecedented snub just after dominance at BRICS. And this also from Zero Hedge: expanded BRICS set to de-dollarize the world, control global energy supply. You know, I don't think it's lost on the audience here, Harley, that banana Joe Biden has brought us to the precipice of destruction. And the rhinos, by the way, like Lindsey Graham, who say, well, it's the best money we ever spent. It's the best money we ever spent while sitting across the table from Zelensky, an actor. So what's really going on with all the money in Ukraine? Is this just a giant money laundering operation as our nation circles the drain under Banana Joe's rule?
Well, that's a part of it because it is money laundering. I mean, what they do say is, well, the money that goes doesn't go to Ukraine, it goes to U.S. corporations, which is true. It's the military-industrial complex. But that's not really about the United States. That's the corporate cartels. You know, we have a defense secretary from Raytheon. So what we're also seeing is with the bio labs in Ukraine, with the human trafficking that Ukraine is involved in, Ukraine is a corrupt place. Ukraine was actually moving into a better situation in the first part of the century. And that's when the coup was carried out and funded completely by the United States and Soros and Victoria Nuland, the corporate cartels, the February 2014 coup to use Ukraine against Russia. And this has always been a strategy of the British. And this is why it's important for people to understand what geopolitics is all about. Geopolitics was a British design strategy to make sure there would never be an alliance between European states, Russia, and Eurasia. That's what Mackinder proposed in his Geographical Pivot of History speech in 1904. That's what became the dominant theme before World War I. That was how the Brits broke the French-German alliance and formed instead a British-French alliance. And then they used the Japanese-Russian War to nearly overthrow the Russian government to force Russia to form an alliance with Britain. And so what did you have? They set in motion a plan to prevent a German-Russian alliance. There was almost a German-Russian alliance after the First World War. It was called the Rapallo Treaty. And the Germans, who were being hit with huge reparations from the West, and the Soviet Union, which was being isolated, in fact, Western troops were being sent into Russia. There was a deal made between Germany and Russia called Rapallo, which would have been a trade deal. The man who negotiated it, Walter Rathenau, was assassinated a few months after the deal was consolidated. And that set the pace for Germany to go into a deep depression, which then enabled the Brits to bring in Hitler. So if you look at the world in the 1900s, the 20th century, you see that British geopolitics led to two world wars and then the division between East and West. Now, what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union was the Western elite decided to go in and break Russia apart and loot it. That's essentially what they did with the help of Yeltsin. That's what Clinton's policy was. That's what the British were doing. And in 1999, a man named Primakov became prime minister in Russia. And he said, this can't happen. And he brought in Putin to become the president. And what they immediately set out to do was to see if they could form an alliance between Russia, India, and China to protect countries against this Western exploitation. Now, at about that same time, my boss at the time, Lyndon LaRouche, wrote a paper which he called the Four Power Agreement. He said, we need to have an alliance of the four major powers in the world against the City of London and Wall Street. And the four powers are Russia, India, China, and the United States. And this is what LaRouche fought for from 1999 until he died in 2019. And what we're seeing with the BRICS is the emergence of LaRouche's idea. In 2000, Sean, LaRouche wrote a paper called Trade Without Currencies on a Basket of Hard Commodities. These are the kinds of ideas that he put into motion. One of the top economists in Russia right now is a man named Sergei Glazyev, who just wrote a paper saying that Lyndon LaRouche was the most brilliant man in the last quarter of the 20th century. They're using these ideas that wealth is not paper. Wealth is not the ability to control the narrative. Wealth is physical. It's the ability to use science and technology to transform nature for the benefit of mankind. And that requires especially education and improving living standards. But if you're George Soros, if you're the Rothschilds, if you're the City of London, you're convinced that we have to lower living standards and lower the population. And that's why they fight against sovereign nation states. So now we're seeing a rebellion. And this is something American patriots should be rejoicing. Our enemies are not Russia, China, India, Brazil, South Africa. Our enemies are our deep state which is largely a product of these corporate cartels. And if people understand that and grasp the potential now to overturn this last 500 to 600 years of colonial policy, what does that mean for mankind? It means we'll be freed. It means the best aspects of the American system can be restored in our country and can be brought to the rest of the world. And that's what the world wants. The BRICS are not anti-American. They're anti-oligarchy. They're anti-military-industrial complex. And they were asked, I think it was Ramaphosa was asked, the president of South Africa, are you against the dollar? And he said, no, we want to change the financial system. You know, the dollar, there's still a place for the dollar in the world. They're not trying to bankrupt and destroy Americans. They're trying to figure out how they can leverage the actual real capital that exists in the United States, which is not in the banks. Banks are bankrupt. The real capital is the reservoir we still have of skilled labor force, science, and technology that could be brought into a union with the BRICS to build up countries that have enormous raw material wealth, but don't have technology, don't have the science that we do. So that's where we stand right now. And I think this is should be a joyful moment because we're going to see increasing shocks hitting the establishment. You know, forget Biden. Biden is really, you know, sooner or later, the whole Hunter Biden story and Biden's corruption will make him unelectable. The question is, will the country survive? And it's going to survive if we get a strategy as to how to bankrupt this establishment and work with other countries that want the kind of system that we had when it worked.
All right, let's do a compare and contrast exercise here as we understand that the BRICS are set to de-dollarize the world and control global energy. So here's my question for you. When we think 2024, I'm going to just say Biden 2024, but that could be anybody. It could be Clinton. It could be the Obamas. It's all the same brand of tyranny. But when we think about the election in 2024, let's compare and contrast. Joe Biden, the gutting of America and America's energy independence, UN Agenda 2030, a World Economic Forum style total collapse of our industry and our nation, mask and vax mandates, they want lockdown 2.0, and a central bank digital currency. That's what I'm predicting if they steal another election. Now, in contrast to that is Donald J. Trump, who literally wants to make America great, no more war in Ukraine, a thriving economy with less government interference, U.S. energy independence, once again, sovereignty, which is border control, we could get that back, and no mandates. Do not comply. Did you see this from Donald J. Trump just the other day? Listen to this, Harley.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words, we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates.
I love it. It's an idea whose time has come. And you know what? Mike Lindell, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones, everybody in the know says that this election is it. It's our last chance to remain a sovereign republic, a constitutional republic, Harley.
Well, and that's what I started with talking about the City of London, this report today in the Financial Times, essentially warning that the United States is about to go against the Great Reset, the New World Order, and that this is a threat to everyone on the planet. That's how they view it. Now, there's nothing that Trump said that's extreme. It actually is very common sense. That's why they're you know, they have 4 indictments against him. They threaten, 90-something counts already. They're not going to stop with that. And more importantly, what people have to realize is that these attacks on him as well as attacks on people like Scott Ritter, who just had his YouTube account shut down, attacks on the gray zone, attacks on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. These are designed to destroy the potential for an actual discussion. This is the what I call the disinformation industrial complex at work. They don't want you to even think that there's an alternative, but the alternative is already there. But you know, Sean, just as a thought object, think about this. How much have you seen in the US press about the BRICS summit?
The only thing
I saw, New York Times, Washington Post, said that there's no way that these five divergent countries can come to an agreement on expansion. Once again, the New York Times and Washington Post were completely wrong. They also said de-dollarization won't work. Well, it's already working. The Chinese and the Saudis have a deal. The Indians and the Russians have a deal. Argentina has a deal with Brazil. They're moving away from the dollar. And again, it's not against America. It's against our establishment and the global financial cartels. And I think if people don't feel threatened by this and realize that what we're seeing in Africa is very much like Patrick Henry saying, give me liberty or give me death. Leaders in Africa are saying, we're not going to submit to this any longer. And the reason they have the courage for that now is because they see Russia standing up against the whole rest of NATO in Ukraine and winning. You know, if the United States were to get involved in a war with Russia that somehow did not become a nuclear war, we would lose. A war with China, we would lose. We would be forced to use nuclear weapons. Now, is the establishment that insane? Well, yes. They've been doing war games about how to win nuclear wars. So we've got to take the power out of their hands as quickly as possible. And the best way to do it would be to back the BRICS going against these globalist financial institutions and cartels. That's where the power is that controls politics in the United States. But it doesn't control the thinking of the people. The problem is people are pessimistic, they're demoralized, but we have to make sure that when they wake up, they have a plan and they move with it.
All right, last topic here. And yes, Harley, the establishment is that insane. There's nothing that they won't try, including burning people out of their homes in a UN Agenda 2030 style fire ravage that came out of nowhere. No warning, no sirens, roads blocked, people couldn't escape. And now this stinking, rotten, unaccountable government, which is culpable for these crimes against humanity, has stopped the count for missing people at 115. Do you know how easy it would be to figure out how many people are missing? They just killed entire families, Harley, and now they've erected a big fence around this area where the fires happened, and they're covering the fence in black fabric because they don't want people to even see the truth. They're not letting people get in there. I think this was just one big land grab, and the potential exists. I'm seeing a lot of evidence from people who suggest that directed energy weapons were used in this, what I'm calling 9/11 2.0. Again, it just proves the establishment is absolutely insane and capable of anything.
Well, and Maui is not the only place where this is happening. You had terrible fires last summer in the island of Sardinia, which is a beautiful island that's part of Italy. And the fires were set to drive the population out so they could have real estate speculation. Same thing's going on Greece, on some of the most picturesque Greek islands. And who moves in? Who can afford to move in and build the mansions in these places? It's the billionaires. It's the corporate cartels. So, you know, their concern is not with the lives of people. They believe that we have to depopulate. You know, it's important when we in the LaRouche movement keep talking about the British Empire. Who's in charge of the British Empire right now? The titular head is King Charles. He is on record as saying there are too many people. His father actually said he'd like to be reincarnated as a deadly virus to reduce population. The whole British establishment has this racialist view that they're the superior elite and the rest of the population is expendable. And we see that now with the whole trans agenda. We see it with the right to die movement, the euthanasia, the abortions, and so on. They're out to kill as many people as possible. And so what we see in Maui is just another example of, on the one hand, you could say bad planning, but how is it that there's always such bad planning? Maybe it's that there's really good planning, and that's what they intend.
Well, we know they want to depopulate. They talk about it. That's all they do is talk about it. The Good Club that met in New York City with Oprah and George Soros and Ted Turner and all these eugenicists, that's what they talked about. And now we see it happening in live time, in real time. And all we can do, I think, at this point is pray to God for divine intervention and pray that this great awakening globally continues, because I think that's what's happening. People are waking up. Case in point, everything we just talked about that's going on in Africa. We've got colonies. Colonies are waking up and fighting back and staging coups.
One thing on this Africa situation, these five coups that have taken place in West Africa, the media is totally hysterical because they go in and they say to people, you're losing democracy. And people are saying, no, we're getting democracy because we're getting rid of corruption. And people in Niger were marching in the streets with Russian flags. Same thing in Gabon, the coup that took place 2 days ago. So there is an awakening. There's an awakening in general in the United States, but it's not specific. It's not fully understanding the strategic situation. We have to raise our thinking up a notch. And I'd really encourage people who want to know more about this to get in touch with me. Start watching my daily update, because I've been covering this every day now for the last 5 years. I do a 10 to 12 minute video update that's posted every single day at thelarouscheorganization.com. And if people want a link to it, and if you want to have a contact with me, just write to me at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond.
All right, last question for you. Can you give a word of caution to the audience regarding a central bank digital currency? Because as the BRICS continue to grow and nation states continue to move away from that Rothschild City of London slave plantation, it seems to me that their last resort will be implementing total tyranny on those they can control, the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, you know, the Commonwealth, etc. And they want us on their central bank digital currency, their slave coin, their track and trace beast system. What are your cautionary words about that? And what do you see coming for we, the people of the United States, regarding that, a central bank digital currency?
I can't really add anything to what you said. This is a strategy to remove the capability of people to engage in any kind of free, independent commerce. We're already seeing the use of the so-called anti-inflation policies to cut out credit for small and medium-sized business. It's going to get much worse. You're going to have a situation where you're going to have no access to credit. Credit, of course, at this point is mostly the creation of fictitious paper money for the sake of paying the debts that are unpayable of the corporate cartels. So anything moving toward more centralization of this sort, like the central bank digital currency, is designed to put a top-down dictatorship. But there's one other element to it that people need to know. Along with that, they want to take away from legislative bodies like Congress or Parliament the right to do spending policy. And so they'll use all the stupidity that's done by Congresses and governments today to say, we need to take it away from them and put it in the hands of technocrats. The same technocrats will be running the central bank digital currencies. And what are they going to say? They're going to say the problem with a Congress is that it's susceptible to the will of the people. And therefore, we have to take it out of the hands of elected representatives. So the two go hand in hand, the digital currency and this idea of a technocratic elite that will be handling budget and spending. We can't allow either of those things to happen. But that's going to require understanding that the revolution has already started, and we have to become a part of it.
All right. Very good. Harley, you know how much we appreciate you every single time we're together. You're just the keeper of so much knowledge. Can you remind people again how they can find you, contact you, and find your updates?
Yeah, the daily update is posted every day at thelarouscheorganization.com. And if people want to be in touch with me, or if you want to get a link from me, just write to me at harleysch@gmail.com. That's harleysch@gmail.com. And Sean, I have a great affinity for your audience because so many of them have written and have stayed in contact with me.
Yeah, they're great. They're proactive people, and many of them really, truly want to be engaged in making the change back toward a constitutional republic. Again, the Atlantic here. I think this is owned by Steve Jobs' wife, a total lefty loon, but they warn Trump's threat to democracy is now systemic. Can you imagine how panicked these losers are because they so badly don't want us to have a sovereign constitutional republic? They say each time GOP leaders have had the opportunity to move away from Trump, the party has sped past the off-ramp. Well, boy, I know we're trying to say our goodbyes here, but in my opinion, Trump is the party. There is no more party. Nobody's drinking the Kool-Aid anymore with this Republican in name only clown show, Harley.
Well, the whole political system in the U.S. is rotten. The fact that we had Trump emerge is somewhat of a miracle. The emergence of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Is certainly an added benefit. But what's needed now is a fully conscious American population engaged in discussion and debate.
All right, guys, here's the website, the LaRouche Organization. Find Harley's new blog here. It's all right there, guys. Easy to find. I will try to remember to leave a link below. Our guest has been the one, the only Harley Schlanger. Harley, God bless you and your family. Thanks for being here today.
Sean, thanks. Good talking to you, and take care.
All right. As always, a pleasure. And friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I want to thank everybody and remind you all every single day for free. You can visit us for free and get the antidote to corporate propaganda at thephaser.com, thelibertymill.com, and of course, sgtreport.com. May God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
These are microwave fires. These are fires using directed energy weapons. This is a whole new fire now, because they can, and they are. There's no more normal.